Now we were talking at the end of this chapter of the attempts on the part of many not to raise certain questions which are insoluble. Let us take only one question which has been declared to be insoluble. What is the place of man in the universe? This is one question which has been raised, but which has been declared to be insoluble, logically, by logical thought. A number of rationalists, those who believe in logical thought, in reason, they have been working on this question: what is the place of man in the universe? What does he signify? What does he mean? Is it a worm like many worms in the world, crawling upon the earth? Or is it something else? As I told you, while quoting Bertrand Russell, I consider Bertrand Russell as one of the summits of human thought. There are many summits of human thought. Bertrand Russell represents one of them. If you want to climb a hill on a certain line and you reach the climax, then on that line of thought is a climax. There's another whose name is Bradley. There are many other such climaxes. Like in Indian philosophy, we have Shankara, Shankaracharya, as one of the climaxes. On one line of development of thought, you reach a climax. In fact, there are two denials which are very powerful. Two ways by which you can deny, and quite forcefully you can deny, the possibility of climbing to the divine life. I don't know if you have read a short play by the mother, which is called The Ascent to the Truth. I don't know if you have seen that short play. You kindly let them see, huh? It's a very, very interesting play. A few aspirants, those who want to climb, they all meet and they decide to climb. And then they all, excepting last two ones, they stop at different stages. They feel they've reached the climax, then they stop. Each one of them is a denial. Oh, now we have reached the climax, nothing further, no more. Like a philanthropist, that is one of the first ones to drop out. You know, philanthropist is one who wants to give, who wants to help, who wants to give money, who wants to give charity. He is the first one to drop out from the climbing. His main aim is to remove poverty, but he finds that if poverty is removed, what will be his business afterwards? If poverty is removed, there will be no business for him afterwards. His whole life is nothing but giving. Giving for removing poverty. Now if poverty is removed, afterwards there is nothing more to do. So his life depends upon perpetuity of poverty. Only poverty remains that he has a business in the world. He can give only so long as people need him, need his help. But if they don't need his help, he has no business. He has no work left. So, mother has very humorously put down his character like a philanthropist who drops out in the very first step of climbing. And there are several others, artists and lovers and aspirants of various kinds. It's a very interesting drama. It explains what Sri Aurobindo says here. Attempts are being made to close down the questions, not to raise those questions, because they are found to be insoluble. And to limit our efforts to the immediate problems. There is a very nice article by Jawaharlal Nehru, Philosophy of Life. That is, in his article he says, is the world real? Is the world an illusion? Has man any purpose? What is the significance of man in the universe? He said, these questions are very interesting, but I don't have the time to deal with them. Why? Because immediate problems are very pressing. So he says, I will not deal with those questions. It will take too long a time. I want to attend to these immediate problems. Now this is also one attitude. One way of closing down those questions. Don't raise those questions. So there are many ways by which people have tried to close down the questions. But as Sri Aurobindo points out, such evasions are never permanent. Mankind returns upon those questions again and again. And with a greater force to find immediate solution. And as a result, mysticism profits. New religions arise. The old religions are replaced by new religions. Now, why these questions have been declared to be insoluble? They have been declared insoluble because we rely only upon our present instruments of thought and we refuse to believe that there are other means of knowledge. We think that reason is the only instrument by which knowledge can be attained. I had told you to read at one time chapter number 8, Methods of Vedantic Knowledge. We shall come to that chapter also. But in that chapter, Sri Aurobindo describes other means of knowledge. Means of knowledge which go beyond rational thought. Now these means of knowledge are all present in us. Every one of us has some kind of an element of these other means of knowledge. We use them from time to time without knowing that we are using them. But using them in a very poor fashion, in a very unorganized manner. in a sporadic manner. We use them now, then give them up. We take some other means, give them up, go to another means, give them up. In a very sporadic manner we take up these new instruments of knowledge. And that is why rationalists do not get attracted to these means of knowledge. If you were able to use these means of knowledge in a systematic manner, in their fullness, then of course those who really want to inquire, those who are really seeking for knowledge, they will accept it. But those who claim to have new means of knowledge, higher means of knowledge, they themselves are crude. They are rough. They have not developed all these powers in their completeness. Like Sri Aurobindo has developed all the powers in their perfection. Like the flower of supramental action. You have seen that flower, no? Supramental action. From all over, it is such a round flower with various kinds of needles, needles of action coming out, all comprehensive. So if there was someone or if there were some who have organized these powers in their fullness, then of course it would be a different thing. But at present, this is not sufficiently known. And those who are claiming very loudly on loudspeakers, they have themselves not developed these powers. So they become suspect. They are doubted, and quite legitimately. So Sri Aurobindo says, do not get discouraged merely by the claims of those who have not developed these powers of knowledge. They are like northern lights. You know northern lights. This is an analogical argument Sri Aurobindo gives. If you go to the North Pole, then you will find sometimes suddenly radiations of light suddenly coming out. From time to time, you don't even know why they are coming out, from where they are coming out. It takes time for us to see that there is behind these lights a huge store of light, sun itself. It is from the sunspots there are radiations, and suddenly flashes of light come out. Similarly, when you go to the north of your own brain, north of your own regions of thought, to the highest top, suddenly you find flashes of light coming up. This is an experience of many of us, even ordinarily. We are all touched sometime by those flashes of light. But we have not gone deeper to find out from where these flashes are coming. If you can do so, we shall find the source of that light, the supramental knowledge, the sun of supramental light, where everything is chitghana. The consciousness is solid, perfect. So So just as in the physical world, as you rise toward the northern skies and you find flashes of light indicating beyond these flashes the real source of light, perfect source of light. Similarly, when we rise in our consciousness and find their flashes of light, we should go backwards and see at the highest level the supramental light. I have brought for you a statement about northern lights, because towards the end of this chapter Sri Aurobindo speaks of northern lights. You will see that to read the Life Divine is an interdisciplinary adventure. You need to study so many subjects at the same time. You will not be able to understand this word, this analogical argument of northern lights, without this knowledge of astronomy. Northern lights are referred to compared with higher light of illumined intuition, which is obstructed and therefore which manifests only from time to time. Just as northern lights are also supramental light, the sunlight, which is obstructed and therefore gets manifested from time to time. So Sri Aurobindo's argument is that even if it is a fact that we are able to display light from time to time, like flashes, it is a proof that there is a higher light which can burst out unobstructed at one time. Therefore, we need not fear to aspire. All right. Is that clear, this analogy? We shall repeat. It's a very interesting analogy. On one side, you have the sun. On the other side here, there is supramental light. There it is physical sun. Here it is the supramental consciousness, psychological light. So there physical light, here psychological light. Now this psychological light bursts out from time to time as flashes, occasional flashes. This is similar to the occasional lights which are seen on the North Pole or South Pole. Occasional displays. So our flashes, our temporary or sporadic flashes, are compared to the northern lights. And just as northern lights prove that there are sources of that light in the sun itself, where there is plenary movement of light, constant movement of light, not sporadic. So our sporadic lights point to a source of light which is plenary, which is constant. Similarly, our flashes of light, which we get from time to time, proves or it points to a light, a supramental light, which is plenary, constant. Sri Aurobindo wants to show that there is a supreme light. Which is constant, which is plenary, that is full. This is what he wants to prove by this analogical argument. How does he prove it? He points out that this light is not visible to us normally. What is visible to us is only sporadic bursts of light. But these sporadic bursts of light point to a source of light which is plenary. Just as the sporadic lights, which are called northern lights, they prove the existence of the source of light, which is plenary, the sunlight. So sunlight is compared with supramental light. Just as sunlight is full light and plenary light, supramental light is also plenary light, constant light. These northern lights are compared to sporadic lights, which happen to our consciousness, flashes of intuitions, expressions of inspirations, revelations. But they are sporadic, they are not constant. That which is constant is the sunlight on one side and supra-elemental light on this other side. The two are comparable. On a lower level, northern lights are comparable to our sporadic intuitions, revelations, inspirations. So just as northern lights prove the existence of the sun and sunlight, similarly, our temporary, sporadic manifestations of intuitions prove that there are sources of these intuitions, revelations, inspirations in a superior source, the supramental light.